Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, reporting a safe social distance from Washington, D.C. We have 100,000 Americans dead now due to the novel coronavirus. More are dying as we speak. We are not done here, folks. 100,000 Americans dead. It's hard to even contemplate that kind of a number. 20 years ago, I guess 19 years ago, on September 11, 2001, 3,000 Americans were murdered. And it was a massive national crisis. And we went to two wars, and the nation was unified and ready for the fight. You can go back 60 years to find the, 80 years since Pearl Harbor, December 7th. 1941, when 2,400 Americans were killed at Pearl Harbor, starting our entry into World War II. But I think you'd have to go back to World War II, really, to have the kind of scale of human suffering that we see now, just in the United States, not to mention 350,000 odd around the world. And our president is playing golf. Because that's what you do in a time of national tragedy. You desert the battlefield and you go please yourself. Very atypical for every other president.
Because that's what you do in a time of this particular gentleman.
Meanwhile, he's, of course, undoing the government, firing all the watchdogs, getting rid of the inspector generals while the Republicans in Congress say, go ahead, we love dictatorship, we hate the Constitution, we don't like checks and balances. But I want to talk more about kind of continuing what I did last week, about the ultimate question of where we are as a nation. Are we a selfish nation or are we a compassionate nation? Because I think that's largely what the debate has become. Last week, you may recall, I gave a whole theological, philosophical look at religion. I asked the ultimate question, why do bad things happen to good people? A question so important that there's a whole realm of theology devoted to it called theodicy, T-H-E-O-D-I-C-Y. And we talked about the fact that early conceptions of religion were that God rewards all the good people and God punches all the bad people, so you better be good for goodness sake, as Santa Claus might say, and how that, as humanity evolved, we came to understand that it's not quite so simple, that bad things do happen to good people, and sometimes good things happen to bad people, and how are we all to put this in the context of a compassionate, all-powerful God. Don't worry, I won't sermonize too much today. You did not turn into one of those channels on TV. But, you know, religion is not just, or even primarily, in my view, for conservatives, for evangelicals, for people who are trying to impose a religion on others. It actually is a wonderful way, depending on how you discuss it, to delve into the great philosophical questions of life. There is a lot of wisdom in the Bible, even though that there are things that I completely reject. And so I ended last week by saying that why do bad things happen to good people? Well, if you are a religious person, then maybe God can't be all powerful and all good at the same time. Maybe because bad things happen to good people, and we know that's true, that maybe God isn't all-powerful. Maybe mankind does have free will. Maybe our choices do matter. Maybe the decisions we make about policy and politics and whether we're compassionate to our fellow human beings, maybe all of that really does matter. And in some ways, that's a more powerful yet terrifying reality, right? Our choices matter. What we do in life matters. We are but dust, and yet during our time on earth, we can create immortality by what we do on earth. Now, admittedly, this comes out of my own particular Jewish philosophy, but I think it's much broader than that. This idea that mankind has free will. Think about the alternative. If you don't have free will, if everything you do is predestined, as the Puritans believe, then why act good at all? And I think actually some of that feeling is some of the reasons why some churches, some places of worship, don't want to open during this plague. I was watching on CNN about 2-3 weeks ago now, where one of the reporters went to one of these mega churches. It may well have been in Cincinnati. I see we have someone from Cincinnati. It may well have been in Cincinnati. I'm trying to remember. But in the Midwest. And the reporter was wearing a mask, and the people in church were not. And they were congregating in large numbers and driving out. And when the reporter said, "Hey, aren't you afraid of going to church and being in an enclosed setting with hundreds of people without masks?" The people said, no, I trust Jesus. I trust God. God will provide. I'm not going to die. I'm invincible because I believe in God. That's a really dangerous religious concept. I'm invincible because I believe in God. I would argue that's a devolution rather than evolution of religion. That's the idea that the old pharaohs of Egypt had, right? I'm divinely inspired. I can do whatever I want. I can kill whomever I want. This idea that I don't need to have human agency. I'll just rely on God. God will tell me what to do. And hey, if I just want to be irresponsible, God will pick up the pieces. That is emphatically not a moral choice. In fact, it's an immoral choice. And when people were defending their right to worship and saying, how could government shut down massive people congregating in church? My response is, you don't have an unlimited right to worship. You have a right to practice your own religion. But if it's going to kill people, it may not be such a good religion. The religions that believe that you should throw virgins into pits to appease the angry gods, can they practice their religion? Similarly, there was a choral practice in church where I think, I don't remember the details, 100 people were in the chorus and 90 got sick from one person who sang loud, and, you know, this thing spreads. So if we're going to respect science and if we're going to respect morality, we need to have a different view of religion. And it's not against religion, it's not against God to say that we should be good. Every religion, every respectable religion in the world teaches goodness, teaches compassion. The Bible speaks eloquently about helping out the widow and the orphan, looking out for children, looking out for the poor. The Bible goes on and on and on about looking out for the poor. And so when we have evangelical Christians who should know the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, doesn't matter which, should know that compassion and caring for the poor and caring for the vulnerable is the main point that I read of the Bible. And at the same time, they're like, yeah, we may kill a few people, but it's more important that we all get together and pray. You have to wonder, what is their religious belief? How do they see the world revolving around them? Strikes me that's not very God-centric, but very man-centric, and specifically individual-centric, right? Selfishness, the self. It only matters if I'm happy. Yeah, some people may die, but I need a haircut. Yeah, a bunch of people may die, but I feel the need to pray. Well, you can pray at home. Heck, you can even cut your own hair. And I'm not saying we have to shut down forever. We can talk about the science and the data and when we should open up. Those are all reasonable questions. I recognize that we're in an economic collapse as well, as our unemployment levels rival the Great Depression. It's a big deal. But this blasé, it's my freedom. You know, I've long discussed how I intertwine politics and religion. And I think there's an easy, bright line. You wouldn't think there would be. You think this would be a complex issue. I have an easy, bright line, in my view. Religion should always be a shield and never a sword. Religion should always protect you. You should always be able to keep your dietary laws and wear your religious ornament, your cross, your star, pray as you like. But the moment you impose your religion on others, that's not freedom of religion. That's religious oppression. And to kill people, yeah, that's not a part of any religion. No respect. Right back.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. It's a grim day. 100,000 Americans having died from COVID. Studies have shown that if we begun social distancing 1 week earlier, 36,000 American lives would have been saved. 12 times 9/11. 12 times 9/11 would have been saved if we'd only had a competent president 1 week earlier. 2 weeks earlier, 85,000 lives would have been saved. Almost 30 times 9/11, which we seem to think was a big deal at the time. Now, early on, when I said that Trump's mistakes were causing people to die, there was a lot of pushback. Oh, whoa, how could you say such a thing? What an awful thing to say. Yeah, but it's true. It's not an exaggeration, right? I guess that's the difference between liberals and conservatives. We underwhelm. They overwhelm. They make up all kinds of lies that have no basis whatsoever in fact. I think Donald Trump is now accusing some guy on TV he doesn't like of committing murder. Meanwhile, at least 85,000 of the 100,000 Americans dead are dead because of Donald Trump. Now, did he murder them? No, he negligently killed them. It's manslaughter, not murder. Joe Biden gave a beautiful remark that I'm going to play for you in the next segment to memorialize the lives lost. At some point, we need to mourn. I don't know about you. I know people who've died of COVID. Do you? I think many of us do now. It's sweeping the nation, and they're dying alone, and they have no one to turn to, and their families are out behind the doors, the glasses. So the conflict now, of course, is whether to reopen or not, and it's not a black or white thing, and it's not an open and shut door, right? There are ranges of reopening. I think it would be idiotic for anyone to suggest, well, as the president has, that we could all massively congregate in sports settings or churches or wherever tomorrow. But at the same time, there is a time to reopen. And I think a number of jurisdictions where the counts are low are slowly opening, saying, use your social distance, use your mask. We'll see where it goes. What bothers me is not the scientific data divide. You know, this, we've gone too far. We haven't gone far enough. We need to require masks. I think we do, but some others may think we don't. Should schools reopen? What's an essential business? All of that is fair to discuss, fair to debate. What bothers me is the absolute lack of compassion among some, and I do think a small minority of Americans. The people who say, it's my right not to wear a mask. It's my right to cough in your face. It's my right to kill you because I'm more important than you and you don't matter. And my freedom is all about stomping on your freedom. And whether it's religious oppression or any other, that's oppression. I mean, Minneapolis is in flames right now after a black man was handcuffed and then killed by a white police officer in a clear video. We need to teach compassion in this country. We need to recognize beyond ourselves. You know, a two-year-old famously says, mine, 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 mine. No, no, no. They're trying to take control of this very complex world around them, and they want to be in charge. Every two-year-old wants to be in charge, it seems. Mine, mine, mine. And then around the age of three, most of us learn to share. Around the age of three, most of us learn that, hey, there's a world outside my world. And you have thoughts too. And the things you think about are not necessarily the things I think about. And you want to play with my toy too. And if I play with the toy all the time, you don't get it at all. We learn compassion. We learn empathy. We learn to put ourselves in another person's shoes. We learn that all these thoughts, I have my wants, I have my needs, I want it now. She has her wants. She has her needs. He wants it now too. I think that's one of the reasons why one of the sweetest videos I've seen is the one, have you seen it, of the white two-year-old toddler and the black two-year-old toddler, and they love each other and they're just hugging. They run and hug each other. I don't know. There's something about seeing children that age so loving. And I don't mean to attack all two-year-olds. I think there are probably a lot of very compassionate two-year-olds out there. I know there are. I know my own niece, when she was just a few months old, loved animals. Most a lot of kids do. And cared for animals. So we have it in us to be compassionate. The question comes, what do you do when people aren't? What do you do when you see someone in an enclosed place without a mask and they're coughing? I've posted on Facebook some ugly examples of some ugly Americans. And it's painful to watch. There was one recently, you may have seen, the woman who a man asked her to keep her distance as she approached him and to leash her dog in New York Central Park because he was disrupting the birds. This guy was a bird watcher. And she called 911 and pretended to be assaulted by this man who was black and she was white. And it's just selfishness. It's just this idea that there's no world outside ourselves. It's an idea that you would think we'd grown past. You think adults, we all have moments of selfishness. We all have needs. And we don't want to live in a world where we give up ourselves entirely and we don't get our own needs met and everyone stomps all over us. That's not a good world either. But I'm going back to my religious teaching. Rabbi Hillel, who said, if I am not for myself, who will be for me? But if I am only for myself, what am I? And if not now, when? We have to look out for ourselves. If we don't stand up for ourselves, no one will stand up for us. But if we only stand up for ourselves, what are we? What are we? Ask the narcissistic toddler in the White House, who never got to the age of three. Someone who thinks it really is all about himself and doesn't give a damn about his country or our system of checks and balances or democracy or anything, as he proceeds to dismantle all the checks and balances while his party says nothing. We'll be right back. Stay tuned right after this.
back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. As we pass 100,000 American deaths, Donald Trump took the occasion to go play golf. After all, 100,000 Americans dead, he doesn't consider that his priority as president of the United States. His priority is getting those links in. You may recall Donald Trump in 2014. You probably don't recall because no one really cared what he said then. I'm not sure I care now. But sharply criticized President Obama for daring to play a round of golf while the Ebola crisis was here in America. And to Trump's point, there were death toll. There was a death toll in America from Ebola. Do you know what that death toll was? Two Americans died from Ebola. And that's a shame. And I don't know whether Obama should have played golf when two Americans were being killed by the entire year-long Ebola crisis. But in a couple months, we have lost 100,000 American lives. A lot more serious than two. And, well, former Vice President Joe Biden came on to tell us his thoughts. And at this point, I think Americans may have forgotten what a president sounds like, how a president acts, what a president does in times of national crisis. One could argue it's not even that hard. Heck, George W. Bush figured it out on 9/11. And, you know, he was hardly the best president we've ever had. But compare Donald Trump's response, denial, anger, firing all the people who tell him the truth, putting in incompetent people, doing his best to get rid of the experts, doing his best to cover up those searching for a cover-up. Compare his just inane claims of taking drugs that will kill you and suggesting disinfection with disinfectants by injecting it. Instead of drinking bleach, listen to the man running against Donald Trump. Is it that hard to imagine him as president of the United States?
My fellow Americans, there are moments in our history so grim, so heartrending, that they're forever fixed in each of our hearts, a shared grief. Today is one of those moments. 100,000 lives have now been lost to this virus. Here in the United States alone, each one leaving behind a family that will never again be whole. I think I know what you're feeling. You feel like you're being sucked into a black hole in the middle of your chest. It's suffocating. Your heart is broken. There's nothing but a feeling of emptiness right now. For most of you, you weren't able to be there when you lost your beloved family member or best friend. For most of you, you weren't able to be there when they died, alone. With the pain, the anger, and the frustration, you'll wonder whether or not you'll ever be able to get anywhere from here. It's made all the worse by knowing that this is a fateful milestone we should have never reached. We could have been avoided. According to a study done by Columbia University, if the administration had acted just 1 week earlier to implement social distancing and do what it had to do, just 1 week sooner, as many as 36,000 of these deaths might have been averted. To all of you who are hurting so badly, I'm so sorry for your loss. I know there's nothing I or anyone else can say or do to dull the sharpness of the pain you feel right now. But I can promise you from experience, the day will come when the memory of your loved one will bring a smile to your lips before it brings a tear to your eyes. My prayer for all of you is that day will come sooner rather than later. But I promise you it will come. When it does, you know you can make it. God bless each and every one of you, and the blessed memory of the one you lost. This nation grieves with you. Take some solace from the fact we all grieve with you.
Sober, quiet, compassion, dignity, sorrow, concern, and even a little bit of hope at the end. Is that too much to ask for a president of the United States? When we are suffering the greatest crisis in living memory, is that so hard? Have we forgotten what a leader sounds like? Joe Biden's no John F. Kennedy, right? He's no Barack Obama. He's not going to necessarily take us to soaring heights with his rhetoric. But there you heard a good man, a compassionate man, a man reaching out at a time when Americans are mourning, reaching out with sorrow and hope and humility. I don't understand. I never have. The people that defend Donald Trump. I don't get it. I know it's a bit of a Faustian bargain. I get that. Yeah, he's ruining America and destroying our democracy, but I'm rich and I got a tax cut. Yeah, he's leading to 100,000 Americans dead, but I'm getting judges on the bench that will help persecute gay people and use the government to control women's bodies. And I like that. People who care more about fetuses than they do about grandma. Think about that. People who claim that a sperm and an egg, newly joined, that is sacred. But an 80-year-old grandparent is not? Because you want a haircut? Because you want to go out to the shooting range? Where's your compassion? You're supposed to be a religious person. These are supposed to be evangelicals. This is Donald Trump's strongest base. Where is their compassion? What would Jesus do? Would he really say, go out and cough in people's faces and don't wear a mask and don't give a damn about anyone else? It hardly matters what your conception of religion is. If you believe God rewards the good and punishes the evil, is this good? Or is it evil? And if you believe that it's up to mankind to make the world a better place, are you doing that? I have constituents complain to me today that they're out for a walk. And there's some people without masks, often young people, that walk right down the middle of the street, drive grandma off the road. She's got to give 6 feet of social distance. Shouldn't they give the social distance? I learned when I was a kid that if I'm standing up in a bus or a subway and an elderly person walks in, you stand up, you give them your seat. Isn't the same true when, oh my God, it's not a question of whether they could fall, but whether they could die? And you don't want to wear a mask? Donald Trump mocked Joe Biden for wearing a mask. He mocked Joe Biden for having the compassion and the empathy and the leadership to protect others. Joe Biden understands that if he's got COVID, he doesn't want to infect others. But even more, he understands that even if he doesn't have it, he has to set an example for others. Isn't that what leadership is supposed to be about? When did Republicans become the party of "it's all about me, Jack"? I don't give a damn about anyone else. I don't give a damn about my own family. I don't care if innocent people die. I don't care if 100,000 innocent people die. I want out. Freedom means my right to carry my gun and terrorize you. When did they become that party? Or were they always that party all along? We'll try to figure that out when I come back after this.
Never confuse Mark Levin with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. I hope you felt, as I did, the incredible, beautiful dignity of what we just saw, of what we heard from the former Vice President, Joe Biden. And I want to compare it with a video. Now, I don't happen to have the ability to play video on the radio, so you're just going to have to imagine it. But I think there's some explanation. There's a narrator, and I'll be explaining as well what people are doing in the video. If you will, this is the antithesis of Joe Biden. And it's a video entitled "America's Biggest Coronavirus Idiots." Let me play some for you right now.
I'm about to show you videos from some of the most entitled Americans you will ever see in your life. Let's go.
This is America.
First, it's this lady.
What was that? Where she? Thank you for coffee. Bye.
This is America.
Can anyone explain what the hell was she thinking? Next on the list, another lady with a truly beautiful voice.
The video shows her opening up her mouth wide and coughing right smack at another man's face. I think that's an assault. I think she should be charged. I think that's, at the very least, a threat. We don't know whether she is ill or not, but you can't stick a gun in a person's face, and you can't throw darts at a person, nor should you. I mean, even in ordinary times, you shouldn't walk up to someone and just cough right in their face. Who do these people think they are?
Look how I'm living now.
And for the sake of diversity, next one is a proud man living in a free country.
I just put you on my 3,000 follower Instagram feed. Mostly local.
Hi, everyone. I work for Costco, and I'm asking this member to put on a mask because that is our company policy.
So this is a man who walks into Costco and is angry that the employee asked him to put on a mask. The employee, of course, is wearing a mask. And he says he's going to put it on Instagram and he's going to show his 3,000 followers. So the Costco employee says, "Hi, folks. I'm saying it's our company policy. I'm asking this man to wear a mask."
So either wear the mask
or... And I'm not doing it because I woke up in a free country.
This is America.
So you're going to take this car from me.
All right, have a great
full
day.
Full of stuff.
No longer welcome here in our warehouse.
And he says it's a free country. He has the right to infect and kill as many Americans as he wants. And the Costco employee says, "Have a good day, sir. You are no longer welcome in our warehouse," as he takes the cart away from him.
You need to leave.
I woke up in a free country.
Who are these people? Can anyone tell me? Let me show you another one.
This is America. Don't get you slipping.
Wow. Wow. Oh, she's spitting.
And this was a woman who got so angry she actively spit at an employee. It looks like at Walmart. Spit in his face. Who do these people think they are? Is that what the narrator asks?
I don't want to say anything because I'm probably going to regret it. So let me just roll some more of crazy clips for you. Look what I'm whipping
up. Hello. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I need 10 on top of one, please.
Where'd you get that mask from?
Well, since we have to wear them and it makes it harder to breathe, this makes it...
A woman who says it's hard to breathe in her mask, so she decided to cut a hole in where the nose and mouth were.
Not easier to breathe.
Cutting it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll do that too. Thanks for the advice.
A woman claiming COVID-19 is a hoax and fighting to get around the glass. The video goes on and on. I've posted it in Facebook. I'll post it on my website. It's shocking. It's anger-inducing. It's America. Now, let me say this. I do think those people represent a very small minority of Americans. As someone who has been out and about in my community, I have not seen a lot of this behavior. But I do think that it's being encouraged. And it was powerful to me, I hope you saw this, when the governor of North Dakota, a Republican governor in a very Republican state, was pleading with people to not make the wearing of masks into a political statement. He says it's not a political statement. Let's play, if you will, the governor of North Dakota as he addresses the question of whether or not you should wear a mask.
In our state, there's no requirements regarding wearing masks, but and we're all in this together, and there's only one battle we're fighting, and that's the battle of the virus. I would really love to see in North Dakota that we could just skip this thing that other parts of the nation are going through, where they're creating a divide, either it's ideological or political or something, around mask versus no mask. This is a, I would say, senseless dividing line, and I would ask people to try to dial up your empathy and your understanding. If someone is wearing a mask, they're not doing it to represent what political party they're in or what candidates they support. They might be doing it because they've got a five-year-old child who's been going through cancer treatments. They might have vulnerable adults in their life who are currently up COVID and are fighting. And so, again, I would just... love to see our state, as part of being North Dakota smart, also be North Dakota kind, North Dakota empathetic, North Dakota understanding to do this thing. Because if somebody wants to wear a mask, there should be no mask shaming. You should look at them and say, that person's wearing a mask because for them, there's additional risk in their life. The first thing that somebody ought to assume is that they're doing it because they've got people in their life that they love and that they're trying to take care of. And I just think, let's just start there.
So there you go. You can be a compassionate, conservative Republican. We can all be like the governor of North Dakota, who genuinely cares about the people of his state, doesn't want them to die. Is that too much to ask of our elected officials? Is that too much to ask of every American? It's not funny to threaten to kill people. Just like it's not funny to carry a gun and point it at someone's face. It's not funny to cough in someone's face when there's a deadly disease going on. And the fact that people supposedly of faith, supposedly of religious faith, are going around and saying it's their right, it's their freedom to destroy another's life goes against every religious teaching of every religion I know of. So, as we approach this question of how to reopen, when to reopen, what we can do to make all ourselves safer, we can continue to argue for this restriction or that this one needs to be lifted and maybe farmers markets need to open a bit more and maybe gyms need to close a bit more. We can make those arguments. But let's do so with a bit of humility. Let's do so recognizing that we don't want to kill others. Let's do so recognizing that it's not about politics, whether or not you put on a mask. When the President of the United States refuses to put on a mask because, well, he's so vain that he doesn't like how it looks, even if it's going to kill people, I'm reminded that those plastic suits that life-saving doctors, heroes are wearing, they're not that glamorous either. But they wear them because they are saving lives. Frontline heroes are not worried about what they look like. They're worried about doing what they can in the greatest crisis America has faced in our lifetimes. So be responsible. Wear a mask. And let's elect a president of the United States that respects America. It's Mark Levine signing off.